Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jayo Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Purudhari. Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Purudhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Purudhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Purudhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janarandana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jayo Vishnupaya Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Stottara Satasri Sivat. His Divine Grace Lesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Kantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gopremanande Hari Ribo Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to the assembled devotees. All grace to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Gyana Dibisaha Kalo Nashta Dirshamesha Puranarko Dunodita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, Text Number 3. Word meanings. Actually, I was just a little something about language. Sometimes devotees say synonyms. I was thinking, if the word in another language, is that called a synonym? I looked it up in a dictionary. Not according to the dictionary, actually. A synonym is the same meaning of the word, another English word that means the same thing, in the same language. It's not called a synonym, actually, if you're translating from one language to another. Anyway, so the word meanings, as I say, Dvaipayanat, from Vyasadeva, Anavaraha, in no way inferior, Mahitve, in greatness, Tasya, his, Vyasa's, Dehaja, born of his body, Sarva Atmana, with all his heart, Shritaha, took shelter, Krishnam, Lord Krishna, Tatparan, those devoted to him, Cha and Api also, Anuvrata, followed. Dvaipayanat anavaro mahitve tasya dehaja sarvatmana shrita krishnam tatparang chapyanuvrata Dvaipayanadanavaro mahitve tasya dehaja sarvatmana shrita krishnam tatparang chapyanuvrata. Sarvatmana sritaha krishnam tatparang chapyanuvratam sarvatmana sritaha krishnam Nirvrata Mahitvetasya Dehaja Sarvatmana Srita Krishnam Tatparam Chapya Nirvrata Dvaipayanadanavaro mahitvetasya dehaja sarvatmana srita krishnam tatparam chapyanuvrataha Dvaipayanadanavaro Mahitve tasya dehaja Sarvatmana srita krishnam Tatparam chapyanuvrata. Translation. Vidura was born from the body of Vedavyas and was not less than he. Thus he accepted the lotus feet of Krishna wholeheartedly and was attached to his devotees. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The history of Vidura is that he was born of a Shudra mother, but his seminal father was Vyasadeva. Thus he was not less than Vyasadeva in any respect. Since he was born of a great father, he was supposed to be an incarnation of Narayana. And who? What did I? Something wrong here? Ahu. Since he was born of a great father, who was supposed to be an incarnation of Narayana and who composed all the Vedic literatures, Vidura was also a great personality. He accepted Krishna as his worshipable Lord and followed his instructions wholeheartedly. Om jnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militamena tasmai shri gurave namaha Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. So who's speaking right now? Shaunaka Rishi. Is Shaunaka Rishi, the head of the sages at Naimisharanya. Often we have a change of speakers at the new chapter, so we're just at the beginning of a new chapter. Conversation is continuing between Maitreya and Vidura. So Shaunaka Rishi is saying something about Vidura here, his great qualification. He says, I think it was earlier, after he had heard something from the conversation, Sutta Goswami describing, he said, tell us more. Certainly when Vidura and Maitreya got together, two such great souls, there must have been a lot of nectar Krishna Katha, so tell us about that. So he's telling us something here. Shaunaka Rishi is speaking. Actually, the hearers of the Bhagavatam often say significant things. They're highly qualified. So here he knows who Vidura is. He's the son of Vyasadeva. And he's pointing out here that because he's just as qualified as the father. And the way it's written here, it sounds like naturally he's just as qualified as the father. But we find that that's not always true, is it? Vyasadeva has other sons who are definitely not as qualified as Vidura, like Dhritarashtra, for example. And but here, Vidura is highly qualified. Dehaja, born from the body of Vyas, my Sarvatmana, with all his heart, Srita, took shelter of Krishna. Took shelter of Krishna, Prabhupada says. He accepted the lotus feet of Krishna wholeheartedly. Tatparan. So is the rest of the translation. And was attached to his devotees. So in the Sanskrit, Tatparan. Those devoted to him. Paran. Cha also Anuvrata, and he followed them. There's a third class in a row that I've had this word with Anu in it, the idea of followed, which Prabhupada often uses this prefix Anu to suggest following in parampara. So he was dedicated. So we have, he's pointing out his parentage here to show how qualified he is. It reminded me of in Bhagavad Gita, every name has some significance. The commentators often talk about how Arjuna addresses Krishna or how Krishna addresses Arjuna. There's significance to the different names that they use. So Arjuna, for example, his parentage is sometimes pointed out, or at least his mother, Kaunteya. So he's called Kaunteya, son of Kunti, and he's also called Partha, the son of Pritha, which is another name for Kunti Devi. So Prabhupada and other commentators, they point out that Krishna's trying to get Arjuna to do something. And by the way, I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti, maybe Jiva Goswami, I forget, I read different commentators, has pointed out that actually Krishna didn't speak Arjuna to get didn't speak Bhagavad Gita to get Arjuna to fight. He already knew he was going to fight, because he says it at the end of the 18th chapter. He says, you think you're not going to fight, but you're a fighter, so you're going to fight. So Krishna already knew that he was going to fight, because that was his nature. So he wasn't teaching him the Bhagavad Gita. That was not his purpose, actually. Although on the surface, that's what it seemed like. He didn't want to fight, so Krishna was trying to convince him to fight. But actually, what he was doing was promoting devotional service. Obviously, that was the whole. This was just an opportunity. Krishna was an opportunist. Some person is called an opportunist. If the opportunity comes along, for example, there are many entrepreneurs who are opportunists. They see an opportunity to make money, so they jump on it. So for Krishna is an opportunist in this context. Oh, here I can promote devotional service to me, which is the goal for every living entity. So in Krishna, when he uses the word Kaunteya and Partha, he's saying your mother is a great personality. Of course, we know how great Kunti Devi is, great devotee of Lord Krishna. So Arjuna, don't be an embarrassment to your mother. You come from great parentage. He also calls him Partha, because one of his forefathers was Bharat Maharaj, who was also a great personality. So don't, soil the name of your lineage. You're Bharat Arshaba. You're one of the best of the Bharat dynasty. So you should act like a proper, civilized, cultured person and listen to what I say and follow my instructions. So in this verse, Prabhupada, of course, he says he was born of Vyasadeva. So I was thinking maybe we could review this story. If you're like me, you kind of like know some of these stories, but you're not quite sure what the details are. And so Vyas, what's going on here? How is Vyas the father of Vidura? So I thought I would try to stumble along and see if I could remember the details too. Kind of flying without GPS here at the moment, so we'll see how it goes. Actually, the Mahabharata, I'm not a great student of the Mahabharata. I tend to read the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and so on. But the Mahabharata I read many, many years ago, and it begins with the story of King Shantanu. The story ultimately is about the Pandavas, of course, the Pandavas and their relationship with Krishna. But this is the version that I read. I don't know. There are many editions of the Mahabharata, and there's what's called the critical edition, where some scholar looks at all the different ones and tries to come up with something that everyone can accept, or at least scholars can accept as authoritative. So at least the edition that I read was written by a scholar, an Indian lady, actually. And so she begins it with King Shantanu. So Shantanu, actually he comes up in the Bhagavatam in one of the genealogies, must be in the ninth canto, where we're working our way up to Krishna and the Pandavas as well. So he was given this name because he had a special power that whoever he touched would become, I read different interpretations, but one, they would be like they were young. Shantanu. Tanu means the body. Their body would be nice, basically. So people liked him because he had this touch. If he would just touch someone, then all their disease would go away, or they would be like a young person again. So it was King Shantanu. So he was the emperor. He was coming in the line, the Kuru line. And one day, as he was on the bank of near the Ganges River, and he saw this beautiful young lady, and he wanted to marry her. As we often find, there's a lot of romance in the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata, of course. I remember many years ago, when I first came to BTG, Rabindranath Prabhu wrote an ad for Srila Prabhupada's books, and the title was something like, "What do you want in a good book?" So then the subtitle was romance, violence, whatever, whatever. It's all there in the Bhagavatam. You can find all the, it's a very dynamic book with a lot of things to get you excited. So we have this romance here. He wants to marry this beautiful lady, who of course is Ganga, Ganga herself. There's a backstory there where she was cursed because someone was attracted to her in the heavenly planets, and then I don't know what she did wrong, but somehow she ended up having to come to the material world for some time. And so King Shantanu, she said, yes, we can get married, but I'm going to stay with you as long as you don't disagree with anything I say. No, typical wife. You know, there's a joke that if a man says something and his wife isn't there, is he still wrong? So she agreed just on this condition. Don't disagree with anything I do. So, at least I'm sure as many of you know, what did she do? Whenever she had children, one after the other, and every time one of them was born, she threw the child into the Ganges. And so the king couldn't say anything. But finally, one child, he said, can we not do it this time? Can we keep this one? She said, okay, I won't throw this one in the Ganges, but I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay with you. And she left, but she left with the child, actually. She didn't leave the child with the father. She split from him, but she went off to live somewhere in the forest near the Ganges. And she raised the child. Of course, the child was Bhishma, would be named. He was named Devavrata in the beginning. And one day, King Shantanu was near the river, and he saw the river the flow of the river was stopped. And he discovered that this child, who wasn't a young child at that time, some years had passed, that the child was doing it somehow with arrows or something, I forget. And so then there was kind of he was united with his son. And then, but then Ganga Devi said, but I'm done with my time here on earth. I'm going back to heavenly planets. So she left. Of course, she left the river behind. So, but she left. So he was with his son now, Bhishma. So then sometime later, this King Shantanu saw another beautiful young maiden that he wanted to marry. And so he approached the father for the hand of the girl. And the father said, well, you're a king, and if you have a child with my daughter, sons from my daughter, I want them to be the king, or the eldest to be the king, not your son. There may be some problem going on here because you already have a son, but I want my son to be the king. So King Shantanu, he just said, well, he was really brokenhearted, actually. He was really lamenting. He went home, basically locked himself. He was the king. Locked himself in the room and was crying and lamenting and heartbroken. Oh, I can't marry this beautiful girl. So Bhishma heard about it. So he actually went straight to the girl's father. And he said, don't worry, I won't be the king. I vow to not be the king. But he said, well, you won't, but maybe your sons will want to be the king. And then my descendant, there'll be some dispute going on. It's just going to be trouble. So Bhishma Dev said, okay, I take a vow. I won't have any sons. You know, I will never marry. Of course, that's how he got the name Bhishma, which means terrible vow or something like that. So then Bhishma, and the story goes on. Now, so his father, Shantanu, he had three sons. So he had three sons by this girl. This was Satyavati. The daughter's name was Satyavati. Now this Satyavati, she had formerly given birth to a child, kind of illegitimate, you can say. By the father was Parashara Muni, and the son was Vyasadeva. He was born on an island. She was a fisherman's daughter, She smelled like a fish for a while, so she wasn't so attractive. Maybe she looked nice, but she got a little close. She didn't smell so good. But she was given some blessing. I don't know if it was Parashar or someone else, I forget. She became very, like, beautiful perfume smell, like a heavenly goddess smell. And so Parashara Muni united with her, and Vyasadeva was born. But right from the beginning, Vyasadeva, well, he's Vyasadeva, so he wanted to take sannyas right away. So he said, I'm leaving now, Mom, but whenever you want me, just think of me and I'll come. So he had that power. And he also was able to give her back her virginity, so she was still a maiden, even though she had a child. So then she had three sons, right? Three sons. So that was Chitrangada, Vichitravirya, and who's the third one? Just two sons. Oh, that's right, two sons. Bhishma was the third son, kind of the father. So the first son was Chitrangada. So there was a Gandharva who didn't like that he had the same, his name was Chitrangada also. And he didn't like that he had the same name. So that was enough for a fight and he killed him. Killed him because he had the same name. So these Gandharvas can get a little weird sometimes, apparently. So then the second son, Vichitravirya, so he didn't have very good health. And when he was young, actually, here's how it goes. His mother actually, she was concerned that the Kuru dynasty wouldn't keep going on because she had these two sons. Bhishma wasn't going to have any children. One of them has died already, so I have this young son. So let's make sure this younger son gets married. So these three girls were having a swayambar together, three sisters, Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. So she sent Bhishma Dev to go get the girls for his stepbrother. So Bhishma Dev was there, and he won in the swayambar, and he brought the girls, the three of them. Now one of them, she right away was eliminated because she said, I've given my heart to Shalya, right, Shalya? And so she didn't want to stay with Bhishma Dev. She was kind of upset, actually. And so just the two boys came, the two sons, the two girls. And so Vichitravirya was still young, and as he grew up, he died young, is what happened. He was not healthy, and he died young. So Satyavati was concerned, how is the dynasty going to go on? So she said, well, now is the time to make that phone call. So she thought of Vyasadeva, and he showed up, reporting for duty, looking however he looks, not very attractive. He's considered to be very dark, and of course he's got hair all over the place, and doesn't really take care of himself. He's not concerned about that. So the mother wanted him to impregnate the girls, the two girls, so there could be some sons. Of course, the first one, she was aghast. She recoiled at the very idea of uniting with the sage, and she had a son. The son was Pandu. Right? Pandu means white or whitish or something like that. Pale, I think the idea is. So he was pale, and the first son was Dhritarashtra. I'm sorry, because he was born blind. He was the eldest, actually. So that's why he wanted to have the kingdom, because he was the eldest. And he hated it that he wasn't allowed to be the king. That's why he wanted his son, Duryodhana, to be the king. So he was born blind, because the first girl, she just shut her eyes because she couldn't dare to look at him. And the second one was, she's the one who recoiled. So then the mother was thinking, well, these two sons, maybe they're not so qualified. So she wanted one of the girls, I forget. I read different versions of these. One I read was that the maidservant volunteered, but the other was that the maidservant's master was, mistress was, said, you go in my place. Or she sent a girl to unite with Vyasadeva in her place. And the girl was actually this maidservant. She was apparently a devotee. She had a pure heart. She was very pious. And she was thrilled with the idea, actually, having a son by Vyasadeva. Wow, that's really something else, have a son by a sage. This is just a little aside. This reminds me of Prabhupada would talk about how sometimes these lechers would dress up as sannyasis because there are women who want to have babies by sannyasis, right, by sages. So the girl's a prostitute, and the so-called sage is a prostitute hunter, and nothing good is going to come from that. So in any case, Vidura was born. So Vidura was born. This is the history of the birth of Vidura. He was born from this maidservant. So he's known as a Shudra because his mother was a maidservant. But it's interesting that he was trained as a Kshatriya, actually. Bhishma Dev, he trained all the three boys. He trained them, they were growing up. You know, that's why he has such a close relationship, ultimately, with the Pandavas, because he trained these other boys in military arts. And so Vidura was one of them. Vidura, we know, when he was criticized or offended by Duryodhana, and he left the palace to go on pilgrimage, he put his bow by the door. And as I've mentioned before, he's often referred to as a kshatriya with different kshatriya names in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was actually trained like a kshatriya, which is interesting since he was considered to be a shudra. Of course, he's also considered to be a great devotee, as we're hearing in this verse today. So, of course, today, so that's about his birth. And there are many things about Vidura, of course, in the Bhagavatam, this whole conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. But the point here is that he was so qualified because of his father. And an obvious lesson for us is that we're supposed to be qualified like our father, our spiritual father, especially our founder, Acharya. And of course, if we have someone else as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada as our guru, we're supposed to be like them. As Prabhupada, when he talked about one time about how he wanted to pass on the title of Bhaktivedanta to all his disciples. So he wanted his disciples to be qualified and do as he was doing. Sometimes he would say like that, do as I am doing. Or sometimes he would say, do much more than I am doing. You are so capable. I started at an old age. I wasted so much time, sometimes Prabhupada would say. So you are young boys and girls. So, you know, carry on the dignity of the name Bhaktivedanta. Such a wonderful name, Bhaktivedanta, the title. Having bhakti and knowledge, scriptural knowledge. So this is one lesson we can take from this verse today that we are also supposed to. Of course, that's Prabhupada's request, but it's also just a matter of being, you know, good sons and daughters of one's spiritual father and or grandfather, and making sure, not embarrassing them, as I was mentioning earlier. Someone can be a son or a daughter, but embarrass the parents. So we don't want to embarrass Srila Prabhupada, as he said that actually right here in Gainesville, someone asked him about, you know, I forget the exact wording, but Prabhupada said devotees should be perfect gentlemen. That idea was there. So perfect gentlemen would be. I'm just a little thought that this little side here is that when Manu was created by Lord Brahma, so he asked, "What should I do now?" So Lord Brahma praised him. Yes, this is exactly the way a son or disciple should act toward the father, saying, "What can I do for you?" And Prabhupada himself said, "I only ask my spiritual master one question. How can I serve you? How do you want me to serve you?" So this is, of course, the highest reciprocation between the son or disciple and the spiritual master. And Vidura showed that in many ways. when trouble was there. Of course, he was a great well-wisher of the Pandavas. He protected them. Yudhishthira was so indebted to him and praised him highly. You always protected us, just like Bhishma Dev also. They always protected. Of course, it's interesting that Yudhishthira, he even talks like that about Dhritarashtra. That scene towards the end, you know, when Dhritarashtra is missing. Because Dhritarashtra did such horrible things. He sided with his sons who were trying to kill the Pandavas. Still, Yudhishthira always was completely respectful to Dhritarashtra. Even praised him for taking care of them when, of course, he was so indulgent of his son that he was certainly implicated in a lot of his nastiness. But he had this mood because, well, he's my grandfather, like great uncle, and so I have to deal with him in that way and show the character of Yudhishthira, Dharmaraj. Of course, I also didn't mention that Vidura, he was Yamaraj and he was cursed. You know, there's a whole story of that. Sage wasn't happy. The sage was meant to be pierced by a lance, and he asked Yamaraj, "What? I did? Who? I'm innocent. What?" He said, "When you were a young boy, you pierced some insect with a straw." So he said, "Well, this sage, Mandavya Muni, he cursed Yamaraj that you're thinking like a Shudra, so you should become a Shudra." So that's the part of the backstory. Why Vidura was born from a Shudrani. But he had the character of Vyasadeva. He was a great devotee. He was Yamaraj. One little interesting point I was reading recently about I think it was Jiva Goswami's commenting on the whole Moshala Leela, what that was all about. How it was just some show. Krishna wanted to. Moshala Leela means the destruction of the Yadava dynasty. So there were demigods and Nityasiddhas among the residents of Dwarka. So the Nityasiddhas went back to Godhead, and the demigods went back to their posts. And Vidura, of course, he wasn't killed then, but he was, you know, related to this whole, both sides, basically, the Kurus and the Pandavas. So when he left, he didn't go to the spiritual world because he's not Nityasiddha, actually. He, at least in the context of this Leela as it unfolds during this Kalpa, this day of Brahma, he's Yamaraj. And so that's a post that one takes, highly posted. And Yamaraj, I'm not sure if Yamaraj changes for every Manvantara. It could be that's one of those positions. There are many positions. There are some devotees, some sons of Brahma who live for the whole life of Brahma. Like the four Kumaras, actually. I was just reading about this. When they are created, like we read about in the Bhagavatam, the creation of the four Kumaras, they are actually already existing before. In the beginning of a day of Brahma, it seems like they're being created. But they were already existing. They live as long as Lord Brahma does, the four Kumaras. So Yamaraj, I'm not sure. He may rule only as long as one Manvantara, which is how long an Indra rules. So in any case, at least in the context of this pastime, he's not a Nityasiddha, but he was certainly a very exemplary advanced devotee, and he served the Lord. He's also glorified because Krishna went to his house, and you know this story of Krishna went to Hastinapur as an emissary of the Pandavas to talk to the Kurus, and Duryodhana had actually prepared a big welcome for him. Big parade and a festival and bands, and he was going to have him come to his house, and Krishna didn't go. He didn't accept the invitation. He went to Vidura's house, who was a humble Shudra, supposedly. And while he was there, Krishna put his feet on the lap of Vidura, and Vidura massaged his feet. So he's, you know, one of his, there's, I think there may be a name for this, but one of his names, appellations, is that he's footrest for Lord Krishna. And so that's a pretty nice thing to be, actually. So whether he was Nityasiddha or not, he was certainly a very exalted soul. So I'll stop here. Dvaipayanad anavaro mahitvaitasya dehaja sarvatmana srita krishnam patparangs chapyanuvrataha. Vidura was born from the body of Vedavyas and was not less than he. Thus he accepted the lotus feet of Krishna wholeheartedly and was attached to his devotees. The Vidura was attached to the Pandavas, not the Kurus, because the Pandavas were the great devotees. So anything? Add, subtract? Durvikram Prabhu.
So even though Vidura was considered like a Sudra, born from a Sudrani, if you take up the task of a Kshatriya, you see, Varnashram system, it has clauses. You can be considered like whatever, a Kshatriya, a Brahmin, or whatever, by birth, by performance, different things, really. So because Vidura grew up in the kingdom, he was trained like a Kshatriya. So in a sense, he can also be considered a Kshatriya.
Yeah, it seems like that's, you know, he was a Kshatriya because Bhishma trained him along with the others.
Yeah.
In fact, but if you think of the idea you're making, it's not necessarily by birth, it's by quality. You'd think, well, it seems like he would be a Brahmin because he was more like a sage, really, than a Kshatriya. I don't know, we don't hear of him fighting in any battles, but he was trained for that. So it would seem like, you know, in that sense. The other thing is it was quite rare, actually, that people were something different. Although I was, you know, in the Rishabhdev, he had 100 sons, and some of them became kings, and some of them became brahmanas, and the Navayogendras. Just a little trivial, maybe, I don't know what you call it, but that's not trivial, but I was just reading about the Navayogendras in the 11th canto, and like Shukadeva Goswami, they were naked sadhus, actually, too. I was thinking of this idea of going around living naked. It's like, wow, even that in itself, it's so austere. It says a sannyasi is not supposed to have anything to do with not clothing. It's clothing, I think they are allowed to have clothing, but fire or shelter. Yeah. Sannyasi, traditionally, they didn't have anything to do with shelter or fire. So, like the Goswamis living under a tree, and they didn't cook for themselves. Ate raw things, or they begged from someone else who was cooking. So, anyway, just the idea of being naked and not having any, I mean, it's freezing outside now, just imagine. Even in Vrindavan, we think of the Goswamis, how they were living with just a little cotton chutter, maybe. It's freezing in Vrindavan if you go there, you know, in the winter time. So anyway, I thought that was interesting that the Navayogendras were also like Shukadeva Goswami. They wandered around naked. So that was in the context of how the sons of Rishabhdev were, some were Kshatriyas and some were Brahmanas. Maharaj?
Yeah, just the detail that when Duryodhana instructed to throw him out, he's talking about Vidura, because Vidura was actually talking to Dhritarashtra and pretty much insulting Duryodhana. So Duryodhana said, you know, throw him out, leave him only with his breath.
Yeah.
Now, as far as Vidura's caste or his position in society, it's interesting, I think, maybe you could explain a little, that he is described that he left his bow at the door. He put his bow down and he left without his bow. And then he went to many places of pilgrimage. So Vidura is going around with the bow, like an archer. So does that indicate that although he was technically taking the position of Shudra, but he also had some Kshatriya tendency or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned that, actually. Anyway, as you were talking, I was thinking, one thing that I thought was interesting, like you mentioned Duryodhana was insulted by Vidura. A lot of times, you know, we hear so Vidura is talking to Dhritarashtra. So you think maybe it's a private conversation, but it's not. There's a whole assembly there. At least Duryodhan was there, and he was hearing. When you hear what Vidura says to Dhritarashtra about Duryodhan, it's really heavy. Like you should get. In fact, he was advised. Who advised him? Was it Vyasadeva? Advised him to kill him. He advised, as soon as he was born, it was so inauspicious, he said, you should kill this child. It's pretty heavy. So, was that the source of the 100 sons? Because they were earlier, that was a different story. Wasn't the embryo was cut up or something? Anyway, I'm getting my stories mixed up maybe. In any case, I think a lot of times we think, oh, it's just, you know, the king, just like when Kardama Muni, Kardama Muni and Devahuti, Swayambhuva Manu comes to Kardama Muni's ashram. So you think, at least when they're talking, you think, oh, it's just them. Or maybe the wife is there too. Kardama Muni and his wife, Swayambhuva Manu and his wife and Kardama Muni are there. But then it says, then he left with his entourage. So there's a whole, the king doesn't travel alone. He's always got soldiers and it's a big thing. You know, just like when Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy, he was surrounded by all these soldiers. So sometimes when we hear it, it sounds like, oh, they're just having this private conversation, but things are like out in the open. It's surprising how openly Vidura was speaking to Dhritarashtra in an open assembly, saying all these heavy things. So no wonder Duryodhan got upset. Of course, Vidura was telling him, just reject this son because he's such a nasty person causing so much trouble. All right. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.